Tuesday night, right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as the Bad Bat Cast. And it's Tuesday night, and we're right here on the network. And everybody here in Florida, it's like rainpocalypse for a lot of the southern part of the state tonight. Luckily, we missed out on that in my area here, Clearwater, Tampa area. And I'm glad. It was scheduled to be it wasn't really a tropical system, but it was. It's windy as heck on Sunday. And I'm glad it missed us, glad it stayed south. I'm sure Benita Bob and everybody else down south can't say the same thing, so here's to getting a new rain jacket and staying out of it, man. So, just in case.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
That's right. Thank you. Had to get that in there, man. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
The hammerhead. I'm good, man. I'm avoiding that. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, it was windy as all heck on Sunday. It was a short trip on a good spot and zero fish. I'm not kidding you, man. It was blowing like 20. It wasn't really wavy, but it was just, kind of nasty out and everything. So a good spot with zero fish, man. That's like the standard for me. So I don't know what's up with that, man. So how you doing, Greg? The hammerhead from New Hampshire with the blog yakfish.net. What's going on up there, man? You been fishing?
Heard it's getting cold? No, I haven't been able to get out since getting back from the boondoggle. Last weekend was rain and a good steady 15-20 mile an hour winds with gusts higher, so even the freshwater ponds and stuff were just nasty last weekend. So,
wow.
Hopefully, so try to get out per day this weekend.
You getting ready to pack it in for wintertime? Because pretty soon it'll be icebergs going down the river there, man. What's up? What do you do to get ready?
Well, I got a hopefully another month left. Last year, stuff started freezing around Thanksgiving, so hopefully there's a little bit of time left to hit the ponds and catch some bass and enjoy some of that. But yeah, once that hits, I'll put the kayaks up, cover them with a tarp. Make sure they stay dry for the winter. I don't have a spot that I can keep all of the kayaks inside, unfortunately. So I've got to make sure they're dry and put away safe for the winter. My kayak I'll probably bring inside or have the ability to bring inside to work on it some, play with it over the winter.
It's Dad's kayak, so, Dad's kayak always stays inside, right?
Yeah. Well, I may be bringing bringing my wife's in because I got a couple of flush mount rod holders to put in on it. But, yeah, only really have room for one kayak at a time in our basement, so.
Well,
gonna have to,
I have to say I'm really glad that we don't have to deal with that kind of stuff down here. You know, even though, you know, cold is cold, we don't have to, you know, wrap up the kayaks, you know, come October, November, or whenever, and not get them out again until, you know, May. So I'm kind of fortunate to, you know, not have to deal with that kind of stuff. So I was just kind of curious if there was anything special that you did with them to keep them good in the wintertime or anything like that. That's cool.
The biggest thing I worry about is water getting into one of the hatches or getting into someplace small and freezing and cracking something. So that's, you know, the biggest thing. It's raining, you know, constantly now until it starts freezing. So, you know, if they're upside down, they shouldn't be getting any water in them, but just constantly checking and confirming that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if they fill up and then freeze solid, I guess they would probably expand and have a good chance to get a crack there, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, man. Oh, wow. So, yeah, an interesting thing I was watching today, I was skipped work today because, you know, that's anyway, skipped work, and it was today was a holiday day for, it was a bad back cast holiday. And one thing I was doing was watching the some show on the World Fishing Network because there was like, you know, I was like looking for stuff to talk about on the radio or, you know, whatever. And there was this British fishing tournament, the Champion of Champions. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it was really, really, really unique. Very strange in the sense that it was almost like golf meets like a NASCAR race meets a fishing tournament because they weren't in boats or anything. It was all from shore. And I think only like one guy had a spinning rod, and everybody else had like these big, long, you know, 3-inch wide poles. They looked, you know, like to be carbon fiber or something like that. And I'm not kidding you. These things were probably 30 feet long. And they didn't have reels on them or anything like that. And what they would do is just, they were, you know, using, I don't know, looked like bread balls or something. And putting them out there, and they were, you know, catching fish. And it was, you know, they had like a seat set up like right on the bank. And it was pretty fairly high tech. I didn't recognize any of the gear that they were using. It was very, very strange. And whoever won that tournament won, you know, 10,000 pounds, which is about, I don't know, $15,000. So that's pretty cool. And as they would catch fish, they would have like little, I don't know what they would call them, some sort of a basket in front of them that was in the water to keep the fish alive. And every so often they'd get the fish out of the basket and pick the basket up and go and weigh it. And whoever had, I think the guy that won, you know, they were catching carp and what they were calling barbells, and, you know, it was a really kind of an interesting thing. It was kind of strange at the same time, but it was interesting too. You know, as you know, sometimes we talk about other kinds of fishing here as opposed to kayak fishing, but you know, that was kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if you've ever seen. You ever seen anything like that, Greg?
No, that's I'm just trying to imagine what you just described, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty strange. I mean, it was they had fairly, you know, technical gear as far as, you know, sitting there. They had a seat and they had all this, you know, all their gear there, and, you know, 15 sections to the fishing pole. And as they wanted to go further out into the lake, they just added sections onto the back of the fishing pole. You know, it was like almost like a carbon fiber cane pole that they could add sections to. It was pretty pretty weird. And then they're, oh, so-and-so, you know, he's got a big one there. He's fighting a fish. And it was like, you know, he would just basically just, you know, bring the pole back in slowly and try to, and they were doing something like attaching rubber band to the hook to the line, and it was just totally different, man. I'd never seen anything like it, so it was pretty it was an interesting thing, man. So if you, some of the strange things you see on the World Fishing Network, which is really strange because I don't have cable, it just comes in on my TV. Not a bad thing to have, I guess. It's like that, True TV, Discovery Health, and the networks. So it's pretty funny. Oh, they're talking in the chat room about a mini boondoggle in Mosquito Lagoon in January. You know, it's going to be kind of cold, man. I'll go. But that's kind of it's going to be cold, man. Just remember that. Might not be cold for you northern folks, but it's not a... Yeah, Aaron's saying it's only 45 minutes away from him. You're lucky, man. Mine, it's like 2.5 hours for me. All right, man. So one of the things I saw also while I'm getting around to plugging stuff... there's the troughs, the measuring troughs. What do we call it? Hog troughs from yakangler.com, and fish measuring stick with a Yak Angler logo on it, and it's fantastic. No, I'm not going in the 7-Eleven. It's my phone going off. So, yeah, pick yourself up one if you're interested. Go to yakangler.com. And there's should be a banner there somewhere to that. And check it out. Should be a pretty cool little thing if you need a measuring stick. So, Greg, I saw something in the chat or the forum on Yak Angler the other day about jig heads and weedless jig heads. And there was some confusion. And sometimes I run into that because I fish a lot of grassy stuff too. And anybody that fishes for bass knows that you got to have weedless gear too around structure and things like that. And one of the things that I think that is an interesting one of the things that, you know, for a weedless jig head is I use these, and I, for the life of me, I don't know what brand they are. It's a And it doesn't really matter. They work. They're about, I think they're 1/8 ounce or something like that. Anyway, it's basically a weedless worm hook, and it's got lead like in the middle of the shank that sticks out of the, you know, that's not in the lure itself. And basically, it's, you know, it helps get your jigs down. And keeps the weeds off of them. So, and it does a pretty good job. I don't know exactly, once again, I don't know exactly which one I have, but somebody gave me a bunch of them one time, and I use them once in a while, you know. So, Greg, do you ever find yourself using the weedless worm hooks there for stuff?
Yeah, like the weighted swim baits and stuff. Yeah, I've used them. In fact, where did I get some that were really cool? Oh, Marshworks. Mark Lozier sent me some of them, and they were they're really good. I was using them down in Chucktown, and really liked them. Nice heavy hook too, which I like. But yeah, I use the you know. The weighted worm hooks and or swim bait hooks, and you know, even the non-weighted. A lot of times, what I'll do if I'm fishing heavy cover is, you know, put a sliding bullet weight up ahead of that too, and generally fish it like a jig. Also, I just find that sometimes that gives you a little better, I think, presentation on the fall than just a regular jig head.
Yeah. Well, it does fall. It does fall differently too. You know, if you put a regular jig head on there, it's going to dive, you know, head down. But if you put a the other style of jig, you know, the weedless jig head on there, it kind of falls a little bit more belly first, as opposed to. And a lot of times, you know, that you can use that to your advantage. You know, it looks a little bit more natural, especially with this shad swim tails and things like that. So it was just kind of an interesting question. You know, before it became fashionable to do so, back in the day when I was kind of transitioning from, you know, bass fishing to saltwater fishing, I always used the weedless worm hooks, you know, the offsets, and, you know, in saltwater. And I don't recall ever seeing anybody do that, you know, back then. And I just figured, you know, if you're going to, you know, you're fishing around weeds or oyster bars or structure or anything like that, you know, weedless is, you know, snagless, you know, or snag proof. I don't know. I've never seen any worm hook or anything like that, any offset that's 100% weedless, but it does cut down on a lot of stuff if you're, a lot of hang ups and things like that. So, but yeah, and that was before that they, you know, before they made the weighted ones. I don't recall ever seeing weighted ones either. But those definitely come in handy, you know.
The other thing that I used to do, especially for bass fishing, and I used to use it with Senkos a lot. Because that used to be my real go-to swim bait for bass, is and I brought it over from fly fishing as well, is the tungsten putty. So I rig my Senko, you know, weedless with one of those swim bait hooks, and then you know, throughout the day, you know, I'd put on or take off a little tungsten putty to get it if I thought I needed to go a little bit deeper. And, you know, you can almost make a, you know, a suspending or slow sinking, fast sinking, and you can adjust it throughout the day without, you know, okay, I'm going from, you know, a 1/32nd to a 16th to an 8th and retying all those different hooks.
Yeah, okay. No, I've never seen that before. That's a new one on me.
Yeah, we used to, you can find the tungsten putty in the fly shops, and it's a putty, and you just squeeze the amount on, either on your line or your hook or wherever you want to put it. I've even used it on the middle hook on a, you know, like a Rapala to make it a suspending lure.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea, you know, and modifying stuff is a good way to, you know, sometimes you can discover new tactics, and, you know, when I used to bass fish, I used to modify stuff all the time. A funny thing I used to do is take a small crankbait, like, what do you call the, God, I can't think of a, it was the, one, a really small one, what do you call it, it's been such a long, like a Rebel N or something like that, right? And, you know, one of the really small fat ones, you know, with a, you know, kind of a shorter lip on it. It wasn't a real deep diver or anything like that. But you'd put that on there and, you know, I'd take the treble hooks off of it and stick a weedless worm hook on the back of it and a little piece, you know, cut off like, you know, a little piece of, you could do it with a jointed Rapala too. You take the front end off of it. And on the back or in the middle, you know, segment, you would stick a worm hook and then stick a worm on there. And voila, you got a weedless crankbait or a weedless Rapala, you know, that you could work through places, you know. So, you know, it's all on, you know, how you want to. I used to take a lighter and take plastic worms and, you know, cut them off and, you know, glue them together and see if I could get some sort of weird color combination. all kinds of stuff, you know, just trying to, you know, do a little bit of something different or, you know, whatever. Even before I saw the weedless or the weighted worm hooks, I use crab, you know, like plastic crabs. Before I got a hold of the exude ones with the that actually has a place to put the hook, the other ones didn't really have a whole lot, even with the, like a one-aught worm, you know, like an offset worm hook. But I'd, you know, crimp on to that thing. I'd crimp on some on the shank, you know, maybe some what do you call them, the you know, split shots. You know, put a couple of those on there, man, and it would help get it down, keep it down. And sometimes, you know, you want something like that. But, the weighted worm hooks is a good thing. And I'm going to jump on the forum there and talk to that dude about that, man. Now, just in case you didn't know.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Okay. Got that out of the way. Let me see here. We've got this weekend coming up, October 21st is that is this weekend, isn't it? Yes. The Irish Water Dogs Invitational Fishing Tournament in Jacksonville. If you're in the area or not in the area and you're going down there to do that, that's a good tournament to be in. And it's not quite as big as their one that they have in, when is that, March, but it's still a pretty good tournament. It's a big tournament, and it's a good fishery up there, man, so you might want to do that. Also, October 22nd is the New Frontier Tour Stop in Frankfort, Kentucky. The two folks from New Canoe are taking some of their new products around the country and demoing those for folks, so get out there and shake some hands and smack some babies or whatever. And, of course, the always dreaded yet always popular boondoggle time, February 17th through the 20th in Chokoloskee, Florida, which if you keep going south and you think you got to the southern tip of Florida, keep going and you'll get into Chokoloskee. That's going to be a big drive for you, isn't it, Greg?
Well, yeah, but, yeah, oh well. So, there's not going to be any snow there, is there?
If there is, that would be very interesting. Why don't you, like, go up to Maine first and then come down? Then you can say, yeah, man, I came up the whole eastern seaboard.
I've already driven that part of Maine, so yeah. I've done 95 all the way north, so I've pretty much done 95 from where it ends in Maine all the way down to Port Canaveral area, so there's not that much of it left at that point.
All right.
I've even done Highway 1 up in Fort Kent, Maine. So sooner or later, I got to get down to Key West where it ends.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. That's those ends. Do you really need an excuse to get to the Keys? That's like the place to be. Or you know the always fun I-10 through Tech. And if you've never driven, which I imagine you probably have at one point or another, Greg. But the Texas just never ends. Okay. I don't know why. It's, you know, you go through and, you know, it's like, okay, time to take a nap. You know, where are we at? Oh, we just got into Texas. Okay. You know, and you wake up like, you know, 5 hours later and you're still in Texas. So, man, it just takes forever. And, you know, El Paso and I-10, all that stuff. That's a fun trip. All right, man. Got a phone. What's that?
If you take I-10 from Houston to Los Angeles,
yeah,
halfway there, you're still in Texas.
Yeah, I believe it, man. Been there, done it. Okay, got a a queue full of folks on the phone here. Area code 863, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Haywood.
Hey, how are you, man? How come you got an 863 area code?
Because it's my work phone out of Lakeland, that's why.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I was going to say, man, that's weird. I thought Apollo Beach was 813 still. Yeah, okay. How you doing, man?
What's going on tonight?
Oh, man. Nothing. Just jacking about kayak fishing, man. And I'm thinking I might... it's a good possibility I might go up to Cedar Key this weekend to join you and Chip and the Clone and Mr. Becker and see what this Cedar Key place is all about, man.
Is Chip on tonight? Is he on?
He's not on the radio, no, but he's in the chat room.
Okay.
But Chip,
I know you can probably hear me. Slappy Jack is working his magic, so just check the wind forecast.
Yeah, definitely. It's I saw sailflow.com was definitely not looking promising, but you never know because that system went south. So
looking better.
See. Yeah, we'll see. And also, looks like the landing crew's there. How you doing, Mark? Are you there? He might have muted himself. He's probably like, are you there, Mark? He's probably just listening. So
he's pouring some dickheads in there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, so tell me, Bill, what's a good tactic for, as far as, like, you know, anything but bait on black drum? What kind of stuff do they chase? Do you use gulp crabs or what's a good tactic for artificials on those things?
Well, they will believe it or not, if they're tailing, they're extremely difficult to get to eat something. It's kind of completely different than you would think. Redfish, you know, when they're tailing, bam. You know, you put something out in front of them and twitch it, and they'll eat it. These drum are completely different animal. The water is so murky, and their eyesight's not the greatest. That you would think, you know, if you put a big old crab or something out in front of them, that sooner or later they'll find it, and it's just not the case. I think now if you catch them cruising, which you can, if you get up, you know, if you're able to stand your kayak, you can of course see them a little bit easier, but sometimes you'll catch them parallel on the shore, and you can actually catch those on a spinnerbait. They'll hit it. I had one hit a topwater lure last time I was there. So,
and it was a tailwind fish.
No, this one was just I didn't see it. And
okay.
You know, I just was casting for redfish, and this big huge drum hit. You know, so I mean, there's oddities in that, but. If you put a spinnerbait in front of them, and we like to use spinnerbaits up there for the redfish because the water is so stained, it's a good bait, you know, it's a good lure to use up there, they'll hit it.
Huh.
But other than that, I mean, gulp crab, you use that kind of stuff, you have to actually drop it on their nose for them to get it, you know, for them to eat it.
No kidding, really?
And they will eat it. I mean, if you put it there, they'll eat it.
Yeah, oh, I was kind of curious because like a good like tailing redfish in like heavy grass or something, a good tactic is to use either a topwater or something that makes some noise so that it'll, you know, they'll know it's there. Otherwise, you know, a lot of times they won't see it. You know, I didn't know if that was the same thing with black drum. I've never like really gone and targeted, you know, specifically black drum with artificials. So I was kind of wondering. you know, once in a while we'll get them over here. Usually in the springtime, you know, around Sand Key, there's a flat right next to Sand Key Bridge with a little shallow grass flat. And a lot of times in the springtime, they'll be up there tailing, you know. And it's crazy because you'll see, you know, it looks like a – and they're big fish too, man. They it looks like a – you know, like a corn broom sticking up out of the water, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's so, the same. This spring, there'll be hundreds to thousands of them out off of the Clam Bar or Pinellas Point when they come to spawn. And that water, you know, that water is much clearer. And you can throw any kind of jerk bait in front of them and they'll eat it, you know? But the scented baits, you know, gulp shrimp I've used, they've hit that, gulp crabs, they've hit that. If you want to, you know, if you want to take live bait, I would take some dead shrimp and throw it, mullet, yeah, kitchen sink, the faucet, everything. Yeah.
Do you, now, do you, when you target them with dead shrimp, do you have to peel them? Is that still, for the big ones like that, is that still the rule?
No, you know what? I would get the deadest, stinkiest shrimp you could get and just pinch the tail off and hook it, you know, hook a hook through the, like a circle hook through the tail and fling it out there. The problem, you know, is that with that, there's so many little pinfish and stuff like that, they're just going to peck at that and eat it. So you really got to, you know, get your cast in there pretty accurate. Now, I got a feeling with this rain that water's really going to be muddy. And you can literally, I've had drum that were tailing directly underneath me.
That's
that's how deep it is. And that's, you know, just how muddy the water is, and you can just kind of drop it straight down on top of them.
That's crazy.
So,
probably good for pictures, though, man. Good for pictures. You could probably stand up on your, I don't know if you stand up on your kayak when you take pictures, but, you know, that might make some interesting photos there, man.
Yeah, it depends. that water's a little deep for, I mean, I'll stand up, no problem. Standing up, the camera's a little different because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't blame you.
If it's shallow, I'm standing up and have to get out. I can just step out. But there, it's, you know, you're talking 4 feet deep and you're seeing fish tails. So.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
A little too deep. Yeah.
All right. We got area code 804. What's happening? You're on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Ross Choi, dude.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I saw your invite on Facebook, so I thought I'd call in and check it out.
Oh, good to hear from you, man.
I'm actually, if I got a lot of background noise, I apologize. I'm actually sitting at a bar right now. I'm out of town on work, and my work is done for the day, so I figured I might as well go out and have a beer and have some dinner and call in.
That's cool. Where are you at?
I'm up in Leesburg, Virginia, which is like 2.5 hours up from Richmond. So about four and a half hours away from the salt, which makes me sad.
Yeah. Hey, you just got to bring your freshwater gear, man. Nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But you been out fishing lately?
You know, actually, I haven't. I think the last thing I did was HRBT Lightline probably like a week or a week and a half ago. So I'm definitely jonesing for it, and I recently got a call from Kyle Kevin and got some info, and it's killing me because I really, really want to be down there, but I'm too far away and obviously work tomorrow still.
So what do you think about the Chokoloskee boondoggle February, President's Day weekend?
Sounds cool. I have to admit, I can tell you right now, February I won't be able to do a whole lot of anything, man. So it's just I got way too much already on the books right now for work and a bunch of other stuff. It's a really busy time for me that time of year. So.
Well, you're invited,
we'll see,
man. And if you want to escape the winter doldrums, man, come on down.
It would be fun because things are obviously limited wherever I am. I mean, we have some hot water discharges that hold some fish, and I got big ass catfish over in Richmond too. But still, it would be nice to get down there. I'd love it, but I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. I won't discount it out right now.
All right, man. That's cool. Throwing it out there, man. Trying to be great to get everybody down there and fish with everybody. So we're excited about it, man.
Yep,
so,
yep.
And looks like we got Redfish Chuck here, man. Is that you, Chuck?
Yo.
How you doing, man?
Fantastic.
Got any black? Got any black drum tactics for me?
Dead, nasty, rotten shrimp around a bridge piling, or a quartered crab in the middle of the Mosquito Lagoon.
That was always my the tactic that I always heard was the way to go was the big you take a crab, I haven't heard the quartered blue crab one, but I heard a half a crab, and you take the legs off, the claws off, and it's just the body cut in half basically, and you just stick it on a hook and dump it, and apparently that's like curry to a drunk person, so. For the black drum. So that was always the tactic around here that I always heard. I don't know. I'm not very big on bait. I like to go after stuff with Arties. I'm like Artie or nothing. I get stubborn with it, man. I know. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, I'd rather catch fish than not. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So, I don't know. I get kind of stubborn on the bait thing. So how you doing, Chuck? I saw you were plying the ditches again today.
Yeah, man. Let's just stop by it real quick before I left the port and caught another nice little snook on fly, which is cool. And yeah, just trying to do what I can do to try and catch as many species on fly before the winter time as I can, I guess. I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. That's cool. So you were on the snick.
On the
snick
today? On
the snick.
Yeah. On the snick.
Good deal.
Yeah,
Did you get any rain? Any of that system at all?
It's drizzling here, man. It's not much of nothing.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it would fill up the ditches for you. Blow
some
stuff out.
I'm kind of bummed, actually, that it wasn't any more than what we got. I was hoping that we were going to get another good deluge of rain for a day and a half and fill the ditches back up again, but not so much.
Oh, man. So I'm trying to think of what kind of gear I need to bring if I'm going to do this. And, you know, so I was looking, dusting off the big guns again because, trust me, I can't. My little weenie trout rods aren't going to be able to handle big black drum like that. So I got the big stuff out. I got my big, well, not big, but medium-sized one-piece rod ready, which is super sensitive. I mean, you can, like, you put a shad tail on it, and you can feel the thing swimming through the water, man. It's awesome. One-piece rods, very good for sensitive type of fishing. You can actually feel what kind of bottom you're on with that thing. It's great. So anyway, that's what I've been up to. I played hooky today because in lieu of all the rain and everything. So here comes the landing crew back again. Let me know when you want to talk, Mark, and I'll put you on. Actually, you're on. But I think he's just listening. Ah, here's Mr. Becker. Mr. Becker,
hey.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. I don't know when I became my father on this show, but okay.
Well, you know, you're a smart dude. You're like the KFR science department or something. And that's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing to you know, have smart people call you and stuff. So,
Greg Nye, the science guy?
Yeah, except Greg Becker.
Definitely
the most well-spoken.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the voice.
You're killing me.
And his ninja-like silence sometimes.
And the mustache acts as an amplifier for the microphone. It's great. Oh man. So anyway,
I'm so glad I called.
I know. I'm just kidding with you, man. Hey, I might be seeing you this weekend. It's a good possibility. No, I'm not camping. But might go up Saturday and meet up with you guys.
Oh, I thought maybe you took over for Slappy.
No, not yet.
You know there are no dock lights there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No, I do fish during the day once in a while. No. But I don't know. I haven't been out at night for probably, a month maybe.
You wouldn't know it by your kayak war score, but I'm saying this.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty dismal. Anytime I do get a good fish, I don't get a good picture of it. Or my camera's pointing up into the sky. But I do. I went fishing this weekend and got zero. It was like just windy. It wasn't wavy, but it was just windy, windy, windy. And I was on a good spot with like zero fish. So it was, not a good day for me. And, you know, I was like the only person in Florida, I think, that going by my Facebook friends and Facebook photos, I was like the only one in Florida that didn't catch any fish this weekend. So I don't know what the deal was with that. Might have been a tide thing. I don't know. Who knows? But
I
was on
it. Maybe it's where you're fishing.
I don't know. It's usually a pretty good spot. It's a fairly shallow grass flat with a drop off, you know, and basically either one or two places, either on the flat itself, you know, which is about a foot deep, and then it just kind of drops to about 10 or 12. Chip knows that spot. I took those guys there one time. And especially this time of year, man, I just don't know why there wasn't any fish there. And or in the surrounding areas, you know. But I would have went into the pass, but it was just too windy and all the boat traffic and everything. I just would have gotten destroyed. So it was, I don't know. It, you know, there's supposedly a good flounder bite going on right now, like in the pass. But, you know, by the amounts of people that were fishing on Sunday from shore, that's what I'm guessing. But anyway, that was my story. So better luck next time, I guess, huh? No. All right, Greg Crisp, you going to get out this weekend?
I'm hoping. The wind is scheduled to be high here as well, so we'll see. We even had last weekend strong inland winds, so I'm hoping it dies down and I can get out and catch some fish.
No more salt? Is it too late in the season for you for salt?
Yeah, well, there's still some fish around. I saw some reports today. Some guys got into, you know, a good numbers of steady 20 to 25 inch stripers. But, you know, being that I got to drive 2 hours to get there, I'd probably just do ponds at this point and hook up on largemouth and pickerel, or maybe even go try the Connecticut River and see if I can't find some pike.
Cool. Well, let us know how you do, man. And I know Haywood's fishing, and I know that Mr. Becker's fishing, Greg. And landing crew, are you able to talk yet?
Yeah, I just finished pouring, standing outside, catching my breath.
Were you really pouring jig heads?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
I poured about 150 to 200.
Are they like special design ones? Are they like have shovel heads so that they stick in the mud extra hard or something?
They're all hand designed, and then in clay. And then I baked the clay, went ahead and used an RTV silicone mold system, and poured that out last night, dried up by today, and immediately started pouring, and my butt's tired.
Cool. Hmm. So what are they, like, in the LC shape or anything? Like, you know, your custom landing crew jig heads?
Yeah, these are custom landing crew jig heads. If you think of, like, a banana jig head, which everywhere I've read, everywhere I've researched, banana jig heads are the weedless jig heads, or
non-snag
jig heads, I should say.
Yeah.
So I went with that concept, added my own fling to it, changed where the hook position was going to be, and added a hook keeper on them. Because every banana jig head I've ever used has this little nub to hold the soft plastic on there, and I hate that. So I went ahead and actually put a wire hook keeper on there.
Cool.
So you thread that your bait on there, you can tie it on.
Yeah.
I've got the owner hooks are part of them. I've got a 3/32 that I just finished that's going to be matched with a Trocar extra wide gap hook. So that should be interesting. It's a 1/0 Trocar hook. So that's going to be for the bass. And then I've got jig heads all the way up to 4 ounces with different positions of where you... Because what most people don't realize is that where that you tie your line onto the jig head, how it changes the profile of the bait and how it's going to swim. And that's something I've been working on for the past week is, you know, if I put the hook keeper here in relation to where the rest of the lead is, how is that going to change the ride? How is it going to sit differently when you put it on the bottom? So I think I've got that pretty much down pat, you know, to go with my line of soft plastics here soon.
Cool. Now, so do you, for those of you who don't know, Mark Wheeler here is the landing crew, and he does the Wednesday night Mid-Atlantic show. He's based out of Virginia Beach there. So make sure you to listen tomorrow night. What do you got going on tomorrow night's show there, Mark?
Tomorrow night is going to be big. It's a we're going to talk about the raping of our oceans here in Virginia and in other places with this man-eating harvest. What most people don't know is that more than 3/4 of the East Coast, all the way down to Florida's man-eating, are spawn and are, you know, hatched and grow up in the Chesapeake Bay system in Virginia.
No kidding.
Oh yeah.
I never knew that.
It's, you know, those little peanut bunkers, you know, the schools you guys get down there and you think those are big, the ones you see up here are massive. And, you know, once they get out in the ocean, they get swept down currents and, you know, back down to Florida and stuff like that. But almost 3/4 of all the menhaden are spawned up here. And we have a company called Omega that takes advantage of this. And basically... It's a raping. It's what it is. They destroy the every. It's already getting.
They just harvest menhaden and use it for, you know, whatever. And
yeah,
so they're
omega,
so what you're saying is that they're over harvesting.
Over harvesting, and they're killing a lot of other fish and turtles and dolphins and stuff like that.
Do you have a guest coming on or anything like that?
I got several people trying to come on. Beasley, he's a big, big, big voice in the, you know, Stop Omega, Stop the Menhaden Harvest voice. Along with that, there's Brandon from Tidalfish.com. He's going to be on. I got hopefully a guy from CCA, Coastal Conservation Association, coming on.
Good deal.
Oh, I sent emails out and called people, and they said, yeah, we're going to try to be on. So we got a lot of people.
All right, cool. So that's on tomorrow at 8, right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. And I know Greg Recker is fishing this weekend, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Awesome. So you getting all geared up already? You putting on the heavy stuff for the big heavy fish there? I see Chip's asking what to bring.
We're pretty well set. We've got junior fly reels stuff all set up and camping gear spread through at least 3 different rooms in the house plus the garage. So we're just hoping that we're not hoping. We're just waiting for Slappy to have his effect and cut the winds down a little bit so we can get up there. We're looking forward to this quite a bit. So
yeah, well, I'm paying attention to it too because I'm not getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go up there and have 40 mile an hour winds or whatever. So I'm definitely sleeping if it looks like it's going to be bad. So we'll see. Definitely keep an eye on it. But all right, man. Well, it looks like we're done. I'm done anyway. Chuck, got anything to throw in? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Support your local ditch fishermen.
Oh, man. I got to get you over here. This is like the time of year, too. So if you can get over here in the near future, this time of year, I know some really good ditches around St. Pete that you would just be like foaming at the mouth to get at. And they're like right there in the middle of God and everyone.
Ditch fishing for guys who are afraid of big fish.
No, there's some big. There's a snook in the 40 in the 40 inch range in those ditches, man. Yeah, that's what I've been telling Chuck too. You know, I'm like, when are you gonna like crank up the size on those tarpons, man?
Wow, Rob, really?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm just kidding with you.
Captain Schooly Trout, just remember, man. My butt.
What's that?
Hey, just remember, Chuck. Good. It's not the size of the ditch; it's the size of the fish you pull out of it. You know what I mean?
That's
right, man. Listen, I would much rather catch a 3-inch tarpon than catch a Schooly Trout. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. No, I've got nothing really going on. I'm, whatever, dude. Captain Schooly Trout busting my butt. So we got, this weekend we've got the, again, the Handler Fish and Supply. My current employer, we've got our big sale going on. And I am definitely going to fish. I actually have a charter next week. So I will be back in a kayak again, as they say. And
you remember how to do that, right? You know, left, right. You know, keep your balance. You know.
Yeah. I got it, buddy. there you go. So try not to hook any stingrays on your adventure.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Get it off.
Bring a pair of pliers with you. And, there you go.
Thanks. All right.
No,
man.
Anyway, just getting ready to spool up that new spool of, what is it, fly tooth fly line that I got in the mail today. I'm pretty excited about. So I'll be doing a review on that for yakangler.com. There you go.
Which one? Awesome. You get one of the hog troughs there? You pick one of those up yet? Did you pick up one of the hog troughs?
Hog troughs?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, it's yakangler.com hog trough, which is a measuring stick for your fish.
Yeah.
There you go, man. All right. Well, that's it for me. Anybody got anything else before we go?
I'm getting a new kayak finally. Woo!
What's that?
I'm finally getting a new kayak. Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah? What are you getting?
Hopefully it's a new ride. Hopefully.
you said you don't know?
I don't know if I want the new ride 115, the 135, or both. I'm just being a big girl right now and just shopping around. I already bought one of those new Corrado 300Es, the big Mamba Jambas.
Nice.
The winch. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
80-pound braid on that. It took 175 yards of 80-pound braid. Hell to the yeah.
God. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going offshore?
No, that's for stripers and drum and bass and schooly trout and small children. You name it, I'm going to use it.
Schooly trout, come on.
Okay. But
schooly trout.
All right. Well, I'm out, and you guys can make sure to check out yakangler.com. I would point you towards my blog, but I haven't written anything in like a month. My writing abilities have escaped me for some reason. So, anyway, I am Rob DeVore, otherwise known as the Bad Batcast, and I'm out of here. So, I will see you guys next week. Make sure you listen to Mark's show tomorrow, Wednesday, the Mid-Atlantic Report, Chip's show Thursday, and the Spike and Ike show on Friday, and Redfish Chuck on Monday. So until then, you're listening to the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, and see ya!
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.